This is How Men Think with Brooks Like and Gavin DeGraw, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Welcome to How Men Think. What are you laughing at, buddy? I can't even start talking and you're already laughing over there.
Sorry, man.
You were prepared.
Just an inside joke in my own small room of a brain. It's just ping pongs are flying around in there.
Welcome to another episode of How Men Think podcast. My name is Brooks Like. I got my good buddy, Mr. Gavin DeGraw,
there.
I missed you the last 2 weeks. You haven't been here for
the show. You didn't even tell me. I heard somebody else sat in my chair.
We did have a fantastic time.
Here I am, co-hosts now.
You're out there singing songs and dancing.
We do the heavy lifting
around here, buddy. You get to come in and like just play around.
I get to say, thanks, guys. Do I get my checks today yet?
And Amy's like,
is our show making money?
Getting there.
Is it?
If this episode's good and people listen.
Maybe next time I can get a hotel room without cockroaches in it.
Yeah, so sorry about that.
Oh, yeah. Buddy. It's all right.
Gavin had to text me this morning and he's like, I got to get out of here. There's roaches in the hotel. Yeah. You know, iHeart, we really set you up nice.
Buddy, why don't you just come stay at the house? You can come stay at my house anytime. You should see our basement suite.
Careful about inviting me because I'm actually the guy who will show up at your house like 2 in the morning.
Did he just say he'll put you in the basement?
No, we have a gorgeous basement suite. You got like a king bed. It's like blackout blinds. You got a theater room right there for you.
Okay.
Yeah, you come stay there.
If you see like a drunken version of me in your driveway tonight, don't be surprised.
Oh, buddy. The offer is on the table for you alone.
We're missing
Rick. We're missing Ryan. We're missing Dimitri today.
So
they're missing everybody.
They don't actually know we're doing this.
You didn't text them.
Oh, you're sneaking around?
I wanted to do an episode. In fact, I wanted to do two with just you two.
Okay. And our very special guests.
Correct.
We have an
extremely special.
We have a very special guest. We've been wanting to do this show since our show, How Men Think, started.
That's true.
Our guest today, how I met her, was I went on her podcast called Scrubbing In, which is on iHeart, with our dear friend, Becca Tilly. Becca! And she's also a morning co-host and just an all-around fantastic person. You're one of my favorite people. I've wanted to sit here and do this with you since I met Miss Tanya Rad is in the house! Yes, T!
Brooks, I love you so much. First of all, I feel like you guys record this podcast at like my off hours. So don't you normally do this in like the PMs?
We do it, usually 4 to 7 p.m.
Yeah, you know I go to bed at like 7:30.
Yeah, I go to bed at 9, so I'm not far behind you.
Yeah.
But I'm super excited to have you here.
I love you so much. Truly, like, I remember when we met, when you did come on the podcast, and I, like, felt this sort of connection to you just in a way because I feel like you have the same soul as me.
Mm.
So I'm really happy to be here.
Question for you. Do you feel, because I feel I have a new soul, like my soul has never lived before. Some people feel like they have old souls. I feel like you, Gav, might be an old soul.
Yes.
I have no soul.
Oh, we'll find it. We'll get it back. You might have left it in a tavern last night, but we'll find it.
A giant hole through the center of me.
T, do you feel like you are a new soul or an old soul?
I feel like I'm a new soul and I feel like I'm a young soul.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Me too.
Okay. Naive a little bit.
Hmm. We'll dive into that maybe. But so here's the topic of the podcast today. And I think it's a super relevant. I think this episode's going to be bigger than we even realize. It's about, and you raised this to me when I asked you, would you come on our show? What's the topic you would like to talk about? You said an independent woman and a successful woman and how do men react to that?
Yeah.
And how does that play an issue or non-issue in relationships?
Yeah, it's interesting because I make no apologies for the way that I am and being successful and being independent. Like, I'm proud of all of those things, but I do think it's a really interesting dynamic within a relationship because I actually don't know. I like haven't figured it out.
It's emasculating. I'm just going to call it out. So, sometimes it can be emasculating.
So what we're talking about here is to give you guys a little foundation of this is if a woman is more successful, we talking financially, and a lot of our listeners, I'm sure you like, I can't wait for the response from you guys for this. We're talking about a woman being super successful in her career and very independent. And does that emasculate a man? How does it feel as a man to date somebody like that? Or I'm married to one, so I can't wait to like give you my thoughts on it and hopefully ease your you know, perspective toward it. But that's what the base of this is. So I want to give you the floor, T, to just ask like the most important question for you about what you want to know from us men, from Gavin and I, that we could possibly help you in, or what you're struggling with being an independent woman.
I think initially it's hard for me in the beginning because I am the way that I am. I'm a little bit of a control freak. And so when I start dating somebody, like I like to eat early and I like, you know what I mean? Just because of like my schedule and the way that I like live my life. Like I eat dinner at like, so embarrassing, 5:30 or like 6 p.m.
And I do that.
When a guy asks me to dinner, they ask me to go to dinner at like 8 or 9. And so I try to be loosey goosey and like go with the flow. But then there's another part of me that's not able to do that. So I think like for me, it's a hard balance of trying to maneuver in the beginning, like how much do I voice what I need and how much do I let them take control?
5:30, 6 p.m. I'd be having an omelet.
You're just finishing brunch.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I'm eating supper at 5:36.
Yeah.
I love eating early. So my question to you is that sounds more Yippee. Like a scheduling issue or like a schedule, not an independent woman, or is it because of your career that your schedule is like that and you're having a tough time finding a guy?
It's a snowball effect because I do have a really tight schedule and I do like my work is really important to me. So I don't like to come in super tired or hungover or whatever, you know, so it's kind of like also making time for somebody. And I don't know. I think I struggle with finding the balance.
So sorry. Question. You say independence. This is a broad term.
Right.
Independence. But I don't know where that fine line is between what people say being strong or being independent is. I don't necessarily think that they're the same thing, and being successful doesn't necessarily make you independent and vice versa. It sounds like you're someone who is looking for more codependence, because it sounds like a lot of times when people are championing their independence so much, yet looking for someone to help to take, you know, to have a companion, it sounds like they're almost independencing themselves into loneliness. And having a balance in that regard, I think is tough, because I think what happens with a lot of people is they're pursuing their career and they're proud of their career and there's this great pursuit for their career. It's a hard thing to become successful, and careers are different than jobs. You don't clock in and clock out of a career.
Right.
Right.
I love that.
So, you know, you take your career home with you, and it ultimately is really your lifestyle, your career. It's different. Right. So
is that the way you feel, Tanya?
Totally.
That you have a career, not a job.
100%.
Which is awesome. But, just want to acknowledge that. That's amazing.
I guess my question is, it's not a challenge or anything like that, but the question is, what concessions are you willing to make with your career in order to have?
Why does she need to concede?
I'm saying you have to make some sort of concessions in some ways with your, oftentimes something's got to give.
I agree with that.
In life. In
I
anything.
Agree with compromise, when you're building but I don't a tank, know if you need to concede.
When you're building a tank, you make sacrifices. You take armor off so it's faster, or put it on so it's stronger. You need a bigger gun or a smaller gun. There's different ingredients to balance things out to make everything has to be an overall version of something. It can never be a perfect version of one thing.
I feel like independent in a way, independence to me is, my life is very full. I'm very happy. I love my job. I have the best friends. I have a great family. Mm-hmm. I can take care of myself. Mm-hmm. But what I really want is a partner, a teammate to do life with, because I feel like there's so much power in a pair. And I think I really am struggling finding that particular man. I guess I don't know how, if like my picker is off, or like how I can find a man that, because I do think that there's some that really do just kind of look at me and look at my career and they're kind of like, yeah, I'm out.
Or guys, is she going 0 to 60? Like she wants this partner teammate, but maybe she should just find a nice pal for a second.
So knowing Tanya, I don't think so.
Right.
I believe that you are like everyone, want sincere companionship. And why wouldn't you?
Right.
But also, I love that you are strong enough and proud enough to not sacrifice and give everything up and just bend and almost break. It's going to break your soul if you do that, to give away everything, to be like, okay, I'll come for supper at 9 o'clock and I'll show up tired. And I love that you protect the things that matter to you. Mm-hmm. And so it can be difficult. Your career, your schedule is different than most, maybe, but it can be a little bit difficult to find somebody that maybe can slide into that. But I don't think if I were you, I would ever sacrifice that. Sure, there's compromise. Like sometimes, even when I was playing hockey, like there'd be times we'd play a big game tomorrow night and I'd want to be at home resting and my wife would want to have a date night. And I'd be like, can I go out tonight? I want to rest. I want to watch the teams playing tonight in Anaheim that we're playing tomorrow. And so it's a real subtle dance, mm-hmm. I believe, when you find the person. But if you find, actually, it just came to me. I think if you find the person that you thoroughly enjoy and are intrigued about, the rest is actually pretty easy. And I don't know if you can see that without having that person.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Totally. Because I think, a lot of people disagree with me on this, but I'm put all my eggs in a one basket type of girl. Like I can't do the dating multiple people thing. Like,
yeah.
I just
do
don't
that
have
on Easter too. Cause that would kind of suck.
Yeah.
The one thing like, all right, yeah. Easter's over. I found all of them in one shot.
Like everybody tells me you should just put a couple eggs in a bunch of baskets and just see which one.
That's not you.
It's not me. And it's like, I can't do that. I intentionally date. That's just how I am. That's how I'm wired. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is because I'm also like not afraid to just be fully myself. And I'm like, I'm dating, mm-hmm. I'm intentionally dating you. I want to see where this goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I go full in and I do like cute things and I do nice things. And I feel like I go into like show too much or give them too much because I never feel like it's balanced.
Mm-hmm. But so don't you think you a man today? Will.
You don't feel like it's reciprocal?
Correct.
Interesting.
Like I'm very much like a, I'll shoot my shot. I'll flirt with you. I'll drop the handkerchief, whatever. But I don't feel like I get a lot of that back.
Yeah. I got to step in here. I'm not saying that you haven't had those experiences, but I don't want to just paint all men with a broad stroke that they don't give, because some men are extremely thoughtful.
Some. And thoughtful's different. So like, well,
thoughtful can be loving and caring. They can do little things.
But my experience has been, let's say I'm like, and I think you get into this mode where the one woman could be the planner. So I'm like always planning the trips and planning the dinners and planning the this. And all of a sudden I'm like, why is he never doing it? But maybe it's because I set it up that way.
Yeah. And I also think I'm a big believer in love languages. And like, I know my love language and I make it. It's obviously probably something else is not great to do. Like on a first or second date, I find out what love language is the guy that I'm dating speaks.
I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
Yeah, because I think you show love in different ways.
Yes.
And it's important for somebody to know that.
Can I find that on Duolingo?
You don't know your love languages?
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. Tell me if I'm wrong, T. I think most of us will give love in the way that we want to receive love.
Yes.
So if I'm an acts of service guy, I'll do like a lot of acts of service for my wife, but she might be a words of affirmation person. And so she's not even receiving the love that I'm giving. So I don't blame you for bringing that up. I think you're evolved human being. I think you're an extremely evolved human being, and it's tough for a man to sit at the table with you.
I love being at the table with you.
But
I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm not saying tough. I'm like, I'm very impressed by you as a human being, and you deserve a really quality man. And so I don't think every man deserves to sit at the table with you.
I appreciate
Should I
that.
Leave?
No, no. You can stay, buddy.
No, but I want to hear what Gavin has to say, because he's a little bit more of a dude.
I know. So it's actually really interesting now that I'm seeing this, because, and this is not.
Now you're really disappointed in me, aren't you?
Not a slight on you, Gavin, at all.
Brooks but is the exception to the rule.
No, that was me. I was Gavin before I met my wife. I spent my whole life in a locker room with 23 dudes.
That's very interesting. But
I live
like
on buses with band and crew guys. You know what I mean? It's exactly the same. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's I think why you get it too.
But I feel,
you know,
like
some
Brooks
of the perspective that we're surrounded by
gives me hope in the man that I want to be.
I
want
to take that from you.
And I feel like Gavin is the guy that I am like usually dating. So it's like but I'm so glad that like you do have this platform, because I feel like there are a lot of people, and I think when you're dating so much and you're let down, you're constantly let down, there's a lot of fear that comes over you as a woman. Like, I feel like that's a lot of place that I function from is a place of fear. When I meet a man that is like kind of cool, I'm fearful like that I won't find somebody better than that. But that's so not the case. I'm like, I have to really have to struggle and find my faith in everything because I know that I'm destined to be with somebody that I feel so passionately in my heart about. So it's like, I just know that it's a matter of time.
Okay. I like what you're saying, actually. I like what you're saying. Is this a possibility that because you're successful, because I'm sitting here in a room filled with successful people who are career oriented personality types and people who in general win a lot at life. Okay. A lot of the people in this room win. They're used to winning. Okay.
We work hard to win.
You work hard to win, but ultimately, I do believe in the old school movies of the person who deserves to win wins because they're the most dedicated, right? Now, you're someone who's used to winning. And I think where it gets frustrating for someone like you and other people here is when it's not going the way that they're used to because they're used to winning. They think there's a problem with themselves or with the person that they're trying to date. It's only because you're so used to winning that it hurts that much worse that it's not working out for you because things are going so well. The things that you can control and have fought to control, you have control over, but you can't control another person.
Right.
Right. And I think that tends to be the most frustrating element of our private lives, right? You can't fix certain things that aren't doing it for you as someone.
It's very
somebody
interesting.
Else. And I think that this is human nature to try to fix the something wrong, whereas a good CEO instead only focuses on the something right with the personality type they're dealing with and focuses on only doing those things that work great rather than trying to correct the things that are wrong with that they're not doing great.
And no, but it's interesting because I do think for me, it always comes back to the love languages because I think I have gotten to that point where I'm like, I'm not feeling the love from you. How are you showing it to me? Because for me, I'm acts of service. So I do little things like for that are thoughtful for somebody.
We are buddies.
Can you throw this out?
It's not quite an act of service. Yeah. Wow. But I have a
knot right here on my shoulder.
To me, words of affirmation isn't totally necessary, but that the person I'm dating, if they're constantly telling me that they like me and like all of these things about me, and then like, that's how they show their love. So it's like, I think I've gone past the checklist and like what it's supposed to look like for me.
Cause that can be very limiting. Gav, we've talked about that before. When when from the age of 20 to 30, I was single pretty much my whole NHL career there. And I just, being single, I got this concept of what I thought a girlfriend was going to be and what she would do. And it was just fairy tale, magical concept. And then my now wife came into my life and brought a whole array of other qualities that I didn't even see or think about. I was looking for somebody that was, you know, going to help get groceries and like maybe make me supper or make me lunch, come home, or like just like take care of me in a way. And I was like, this is, and now I met like one of the most independent women, probably the most independent woman I've ever met, very much like yourself. So it can be limiting to have a mindset of what this person is supposed to be. I thought I was going to marry a Canadian girl, end up back in Canada working in hockey. And now I'm in LA married to an American girl doing a podcast. You know, it's true, but
pretty close.
You have to be open to seeing things. If anybody in our community is looking for a companion, you have to be open to all things versus just boxing a person in, saying they have to fit this mold. And I get that we have standards and ideas of what we want, but that has to be liquid to some degree and flexible.
Tanya, is there something about each person you've dated, let's say in the last 5 years, that has a through line? Are you repeating something that looks familiar to you that is not serving you?
So yes, but yes. And then I want to go back to something that you said.
And tell us what that is so we can like figure it out.
I'm curious.
Up until this last guy that I dated was totally different. Up until him, I dated men that were not available. Mm. And I don't mean available like they were like married or in a relationship. Like, I mean like physically they were either in a different state. Mm.
Okay.
Or they were just gotten out of a divorce. So they're not emotionally available.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think I did this to protect myself mm-hmm. from feeling pain because I went through a really, like I went through a traumatizing breakup. Mm. So I think that I saw myself having this pattern of dating people that I literally could not get so close to because then they couldn't hurt me in
the
same way.
You could be 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
Totally.
Okay.
100%. I have recognized that since. And I now, the last guy that I dated lived in Los Angeles and he was like emotionally available.
And okay. you felt like that was progress.
For sure.
But dig deeper into it. Are you sure? Something was familiar about him, whether he was unavailable in some way.
You think?
Maybe would that possibility suit your personality type and that you enjoy your independence so much that even when you do like somebody, there's an element of self-restriction because mm-hmm. you don't want to lose that personal time, that space that you're used to having to a degree?
It's not so much, no, not in like... I'm fearful of losing my independence, but I definitely think that there is a part of me that's still scarred from that breakup that doesn't want to like let somebody in. Mm-hmm. I think that I've loved without a parachute before. Like I would just jump in and just like I was all mm-hmm. in and I'll never do that again. Like now I always jump in with like a parachute.
Is there any chance you overbook your life? Got to do this, got to do this, got to go here, got to go to this workout and then this and this and this and this dinner and this party and this so that there's no room for someone else. They barely can fit.
Here's, you know, you can answer that first, then I have a question.
Well, 100%. Like ever since when me and this last guy ended things, I literally packed my schedule so hard that like, it was like, I just woke up and just went and then went to bed.
It's almost a distraction.
Mm. Yeah.
What you wanted to touch on one thing I said earlier, what was it?
Oh, it was the boxes, the checking off of the list, because I was so much that girl. Like maybe 4 years ago, I was like that girl where I had the list and I would go on dates auditioning for my husband. And it made dating so awful for me that I literally committed to a full year.
What do you think they felt like?
Horrible.
Boy, it was like, boy.
Gav.
A horrible experience.
That's like a broke Santa showing up at the orphanage. Kids are like, hey, this is what we want. And he's like, I don't have the money. I don't even have any workers.
No, it's so true.
Sorry.
So at that point, I committed to a full year of, I said, 365 of single, where I just said, I'm going to commit to being single. I don't even want to be in a relationship with any of these guys. Mm-hmm. I want to go on a date and just have fun.
Yeah.
And it changed my perspective so much because I would have guys ask me out all the time and I'd be like, no, he's too young. He's too this. And then I just started saying yes to everybody. I was like, sure, why not?
Sounds like you only permit yourself to be the lovey. Mm. You want to receive all of the affection. You're not necessarily at this point willing to give any more.
No.
No. I think you're exactly wrong.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I think you're exactly
where you're at now.
Hold on. Let me go at this because I think I have a good read. I think you're exactly wrong. You are such a lover. You give love. But part of being in love from a married guy is allowing myself to receive love.
Yeah.
And that, I just want to let that sit. You have to allow yourself to receive love. Mm. And it's something my wife and I have both gone through is we're both extremely independent people. And there'll be times where I'm...
Okay. It's so weird though, because I can receive love so well from like my friends and my family because I know they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, it's like I know my friends and my family will be in my life forever.
Mm-hmm. But trauma from what happened to you.
For sure.
And it's not wrong that you're not over it. That's okay.
And that's,
I want to hurt him.
Yeah, yeah. Give us his name. Gavin and I, we're not doing anything after this show. We got an open afternoon, buddy.
Totally.
But it's really funny because
we're going to feed him brownies to death.
A lot of people in my life, like they tell me, they're like, you are such a good friend. Like they're like, you're one of the best friends I've ever like seen. And I think that's why I love people so hard. Like I don't, it's like, that's how much I want.
Love.
Yeah.
It's often a mirror of who you are. Admiration for somebody is a mirror really of who you are. And and like you are somebody... When you think of people who really, truly deserve love, like you are one, you give with your heart. Amy, you are one too. You guys give with your heart. Just a sec.
But what do we do? What does she do?
I don't think there's anything to do. It's not a control thing. It's not, I think it's just, honestly, this sounds woo-woo, but it's a universe thing, is that you just keep being you. Whatever's going on right now, you might not understand, but the proper person will find you. And you don't have to find them. I always thought I had to find them. Like, I would look up at the stars and be like, hey, that person's out there. Where are they? I got to go in this room. Maybe it's, I got to go here. Like, where are they? I got to find them. And I didn't find them. A friend of mine tried to set us up for a month. We both said no. And he's like, I'm sick and tired of this. I'm setting you guys up. And then we're like, okay. And that was the universe sort of just putting us together. And I believe that will happen for you. You're an exceptional human. Keep being an exceptional human to your friends, to your family, and then also allow yourself to open up and be vulnerable enough to receive love.
How long ago did that relationship end? That was the...
Like 5 years ago.
Wow.
So my thought on this is that somewhere in your subconscious, guards or weapons or fences or walls, whatever you want to, from that traumatic experience are still somewhat present. And maybe they show up in avoidance. Maybe they show up in filling schedules so tight that you can't, like, they might manifest in other ways that is like, I've actually listened to a podcast last night about how trauma shows up in ways other than just sleep terror.
Right.
T, I want to just acknowledge you for being vulnerable with us and opening up about this. Cause I think a lot of our listeners will probably find themselves in you. And I want to get more into your story after we take a quick break. Back from break. My name is Brooks Like, in studio with Mr. Gavin DeGraw.
Hello.
And our dear friend, Tanya Rad, who I want to applaud. I want to applaud you,
Tanya,
because she just sat here and opened her heart. And I hope that our listeners can feel that and see themselves, anybody going through the same thing. That's the point of this show, is to try and positively impact the lives of our listeners. And we bring people in the studio that open up and are vulnerable. So high five to you. I appreciate you, girl.
Thanks.
So I think you're too hard on yourself, really. I think you're trying to find this man, which I tried too. This is full transparency. This is from my story. I tried to find this woman, almost like manifest, like, poof, I'm so want this person so bad that I'm going to make her be in this room, or I'm going to try and make this person in the room fit into what she is.
Right.
Do you believe that you're sometimes a little too hard and you don't allow the universe enough grace to position you in the place where you're supposed to be?
I think I'm an overthinker for sure. And it's funny because I'll go to the place of, I have such a strong faith, and it's really crazy because when I meet somebody new, I'll pray on it. Like, that's the first thing I do, is I just like pray on it. And like the way that God's moved in my life and moved men out of my life quickly that weren't meant for me, it's truly like such a testimony. Like, it's really crazy.
Yeah.
So when things end, I tend to get a little bit, like, obviously I get upset and I get down and then I feel defeated. So then I like give myself a beat and then I'll be like, okay, I'm good now. And then I'll like actively pursue, and I'll like go to a bar and I'll be like, I'm going to meet somebody tonight. Or like, you know what I mean? Like, I go through these ebbs and flows where I like, I'm really proactive or I'm like not in it at all. Like, I don't know the balance of just like,
what
being.
About neither, Brooke?
But you're not like praying in the bar, right? Cause that would look weird.
No, I don't pray in
all the bars.
All right. I don't know. I can only offer like personal experience. So when I went through a life change, a pivotal life changing moment, and a big awareness moment in my life when I was 28, the first thing that I kind of just stripped my life down to the foundation of, I just want to accept and appreciate people. I want to live with gratitude, and then I want to accept and I want to appreciate people. And it changed the lens on how I looked at people. I didn't look at this person as, that could be a potential mate, that could be a potential mate, that could be a potential mate. I looked at, that's a beautiful human being. That's a beautiful human being. That's a beautiful human being. And then found that I was just gravitating towards and moving towards certain energies. And it ended up eventually being, I met Julianne about a year and a half later, but I just changed my lens from looking for that person to just appreciating people as they are. And it really helped me connect in a way that I was never able to.
And Gavin, do you worry about finding that person, or a girlfriend or a wife?
I don't know what everybody's so worried about.
I think you do, and you don't need on that. You
I think I want what everybody else wants. Sort of traditionally speaking, mm-hmm. you want a real relationship. You want kids. You want a household. But sometimes I also have to look at the reality of things. You know, you ever think to yourself, you know what I want? Here's where I always thought I wanted. I'm gonna have a ranch. I'm gonna have a bunch of horses. I'm gonna have the hottest wife. I'm gonna have the strongest kids. You know what I'm saying? And then you go out and you look at a farm and you go property hunting and you get in the truck and you go out and you find the dream property and you hang out there for like an hour after the realtor leaves. And you know what goes through my mind? I'm so f***ing bored out here. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm like, this is awesome. I'm so bored.
It's only one element of everything you want.
It is. It is only one element. True.
Because I'll say this, you could be in a blank room with the person you love and have the best time ever. It's not about environment.
I don't disagree with you there. But you're right. It is only one element of the things that you love. But I've sort of removed the expectations of what it's supposed to look like too.
Good
you know
you.
What I mean?
Yeah.
It's less about the picture I've painted where the pieces are supposed to fit in to place.
Yeah,
you
sure.
know what I mean?
What if, Tanya,
less
what if
about
you
that
thought about
now.
You don't find that person? You don't find that one husband? What if you, so that's the ultimate scary thought. What if you think, okay, I'm going to meet 10 people throughout the rest of my life that I fall in love with and have relationships with?
I think that I've come a long way in terms of like, I too had like, I would know what my wedding was going to look like and what my color, my bridesmaids dresses were going to be. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like so far, I've come so far from that perspective of like, this is what my life is going to look like. And I have it all planned out. I don't even care about that stuff anymore, to be honest. Like if somebody says, do you want a big or a small? I'm like, I don't know, because I think it's all going to depend on the person that I marry, you know? Mm-hmm. But I do think that it's such a desire of my heart to have a teammate and to have a partner and to do life with somebody. Mm-hmm. So I will not change my perspective on that because I feel like when we get such a, like something planted so deep in us, I think it's a pursuit. It's almost like how I've pursued my career. Mm-hmm. So I don't necessarily want to change my perspective on that. And I do desire to have a family. So, what that looks like, I don't know. Like if it's having my own children, if it's adopting children, if it's marrying somebody with children already, like I don't, that might look different, but I know it's the desire of my heart so that I will have that.
Well, we all have to face that sort of, that line, that's that dividing line of ideal versus real. And we all have an ideal, you know, in our mind. Oh, ideally it could look like this. This is my fantasy. It's the thing we grew up with. It's not just thing we grew up with. It's the thing we were sold, the thing we were marketed, you know, since we were kids, you know, what a family's supposed to look like, what the ideal homes would look like, what the ideal relationships of the parents would be like. And you know what I mean? Like
we were friends too, that are in it maybe currently. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we've been given this sort of formula of what it should be. And of course that was made for TV, most of it, and or told to us at church. And you know, and there's reasons that those stories ended up in the Bible. You know, they were like good enough to tell, you know what I mean, repeatedly for many years. And so we had these ideas of what some of these stories should be, what some of these relationships could be. And so we have to of course at one point or another face the music in real life and say, well, it is liquid. Life is liquid. Things are moving and variables change and we relocate and we get new jobs and we get older and the many different things, you know? So
what came into my mind when Gavin was saying that is like Facebook and Instagram. You see everyone posting their perfect family and their perfect kids and their perfect relationship.
Yeah. And they're all so full of
exactly.
Now, let's be real.
No, he's right.
Come on. That's a cop out. You know. That's an easy cop out to say everybody's doing this.
We're not saying everybody.
Not everybody. It's a generalization.
There are people
so much of it is just nonsense.
Family photos on Facebook that Tanya has to look at who have terrible relationships. Yeah. the husband's abusive. That is true. And we are inundated with this perfection in our faces, and it is not real.
Yeah, but that's just if you choose to believe
that's
it or not.
That's true. And like, to me, I can look at stuff.
How do you not believe something that's in your face every day, Brooks? Like, I get where you're coming from, and not everybody has a perfect relationship like you do.
I don't. Oh, come on. You play that card? Oh, Amy, come on.
But what I'm saying is you happen to have something that you both work really hard for that's ideal, but people have to look at Facebook and see these images in their face. And you do have that feeling of like, everybody has this but me. But it is not real. Because I know those people and I'm on the phone with them about their marriages.
Well, here's my thought to that. Like, I didn't sign up to have a marriage where I can get photos to post on social media or beautiful photos. I actually signed up for the times that people don't see.
Mm-hmm.
That's the actual truth of a loving
partner.
But
that's you. That's you. Yeah, that's you. You're a deeper guy. But I think what we're saying is that we're sort of inundated with the optics of perfection that people are putting out in their private lives, which are actually complete falsehoods of what their lives really are. Right? Because the reality is sort of like, well, let's hyperbolic speak, we all smile for a picture, right? To look happy. So, and that's what people essentially are doing on social media. They're showing us their best. And so we're all sold everybody's best. So we're hoping that, so we're thinking, oh, they look really happy. Their life looks great. So that's sort of the mountain that we're all looking at sort of relationship wise. Why isn't it lining up? Why doesn't it look like private life?
It's interesting because that's the number one thing that I get messages about is from girls being like, thank you so much for, because I am a really positive person. And I am honestly, I'm genuinely happy and I choose to live my life that way. But there are moments where I get really upset and hurt and I express that. Like, I'm like, this sucks. And I feel terrible.
Well, I think part of your happiness is that you seem sincere and you're okay with showing people the other parts of you. A lot of people don't show the other parts of themselves. And so they're suppressing those emotions and I think that their overall happiness will suffer because it is so guarded. You know what I mean? And so I think that's part of your happiness is that you're okay with being very truthful about your emotions. You're getting it out of your body somehow. You know what I mean? You're letting it out and you're sharing it. And so that's admirable.
It's it sucks. It's also very easy to criticize.
Yeah.
So I get that part of it too. But I'm also like, it's actually a lot easier for me to kind of like laugh at that. Cause I'm like, if you're going to make fun of me for wanting to like find a badass partner in life, like,
don't ever apologize.
Totally.
And don't ever settle. Yeah. Anybody out there, don't ever apologize for that and don't ever settle.
Yeah. I agree.
I want to bring it back to one thing you mentioned earlier that I want to acknowledge is that you said you don't know what your wedding dress is going to look like now. You don't know if you want a big or small wedding. You don't. Because I see myself in that.
Yeah.
I see that I had a mindset of what my relationship, an ideal, as you said, Gav, was supposed to be. And I see you softening the grip on that. And now it being like, I don't know exactly what it's going to be because this person, I don't know exactly what this person is going to be. Maybe we just elope. Maybe we don't. Maybe we have a really big wedding. Maybe it's a Greek wedding.
Totally. And like you guys, if you would have met me, like I was, do you watch Friends?
What's that?
The show. Okay, I'm like, wow.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I was so like Monica Geller.
I've seen Friends. What about it?
Monica Geller with the like notebook. These are my flowers. These are going to be the centerpieces. This is what my dress is going to look like. This is what they're, you know what I mean? Like I had it all
planned. So is that what you bring to your first dates?
Yeah, I'm like, here's the binder.
I don't know why that didn't work out.
The only one I don't know are the flowers.
And you're going to look like this.
Yeah, does this look like something that you would like too? Because if not, it's fine.
I know this is switching a little bit, but I think one of the things we started with at the top that I wanted to get from Gavin and Brooks is there an issue with men, with women who are in powerful, successful, money-making jobs as an issue in relationships?
Great question.
Not for me, but you know,
I mean, yeah,
I have no issue with it. I mean, I don't see what the issue is.
So
do you?
So
what is the issue with that?
Like my wife is. So yeah. So the issue is.
What's the problem?
Sweet. I don't know.
I mean, I'll say I've hung out with guys that make less money than me significantly, and it did not work. It did not work. It put me way too in the masculine. I hated having to bring out my credit card.
Oh, I would love that. Are you kidding me?
I know, but
come
it's
on,
like,
and Amy, then I just buy me some coffee right now.
And I wasn't
I'm
even
so
dating
thirsty.
These people, they were more like friends. But it's like I remember that friend. This is years ago, and the way I felt, and I knew, oof, this is not going to work for me. Now I think if you're close,
yeah,
you're fine.
Like, how big of a gap? Like, you'd buy dinner and he'd be like, could I keep the change?
Like, they had nothing, but it was...
So in your mind, you don't think a man...
I started to feel like taken advantage of, and it was the worst. I was like, I can't deal with this.
Oh, did you feel like it was almost all about getting free meals and shit like that?
So why do you think a man shouldn't feel that if he's taking care of a woman?
That's what... I don't know. Ooh, that's why I'm asking you guys. I don't know the answer to that.
Why is it okay for a woman
karate
to feel
chop.
That? Why does a woman feel that and a man not?
Right. And I don't know if just traditionally because it's more masculine to take care of the woman. Like, I went to dinner the other night on this, like, amazing romantic dinner, and he sort of ordered for me. Like, he knew what I wanted, but he ordered, and it was, I loved every second of it. I was like, oh, my God, I love this. Mm-hmm. So there is something about that. He was taking care of it. Like, he wasn't, it wasn't like, he asked me what I wanted, but then he ordered it, and we're going to split this, and she would love this. And it was just so, I felt so, I loved every second of it.
Right.
So maybe there is something to feeling feminine and feeling masculine.
Can there
be
a balance?
I believe that, but why does that have to come into, or the question is, why does that specific to finances and success?
We're Tanya, what about, you men. Like, what about, this is called how
good
men
question.
Think.
Okay, so here's my take on it. So, when I was playing hockey, I was making more money than my wife. My wife is a very successful entrepreneur, actress, dancer, singer, you name it. The list goes on and on. But when I was playing hockey, I was making more money than her. Mm. Now that I'm not playing hockey and all of our podcast money is going towards Gavin's grotto. My wife is making way more money than me right now. But I am actually fine with that. I love it because I love my wife and fully support her in everything she does. Mm-hmm. And for me to take that as a reflection on me of like, oh, God, she's making more money than me. I think it's a selfish act of my own and an insecure act if I were to do that. Mm-hmm. And that is now making her career about me.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think a lot of men... I think the importance is on the words right now. Because you know that there was that time when you were more successful and you know that you achieved in your field... almost the maximum.
Yeah, but now I'm also, I acknowledge that she's also worked hard and I can't discredit anything she's done. She's earned everything that she's doing right now. I also believe that careers are cyclical. Like, I'm now in a reinvention, pivoting place in my life where I'm now stepping into like phase two. I've had almost first retirement from hockey and now I'm starting over from like the bottom again, and I need to build a new career. And so for me to now compare myself to her, she's making more money than me, I think it's just an irrelevant thing to do. I think you need to look.
I like that.
I think saying
it's irrelevant sounds good.
That's great. I'll also say this as a disclaimer that I have money in my bank account that I can still do things for my wife, even though I'm not making my salary that I am playing hockey. So like when we go to supper, go out for a date night. Like, I love paying because I love treating her. T, can I ask you a question? Has your success ever been an issue, and financial success, with a partner or somebody where you were seeing, has that stress showed up in a relationship before?
If I have to give you the honest answer, the last like serious relationship that I had, I wasn't this successful. Like, truly, I was making maybe half, maybe a third of what I make now. Mm-hmm. So he was way more successful than me. Okay. This is my path. These are like, I haven't been in a committed relationship since then.
Yeah. Okay.
So I can't accurately answer that.
Okay. So you've been spending all your money on yourself since then?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Good
just
for you.
Just all me.
Yeah.
You know?
Are you feeling a little too pampered?
No. But
spoiled maybe?
But what I think.
Selfish.
Jesus. Keep going.
I do think that it could play a part, but I don't know because I haven't really like dated anybody for a significant amount of time.
So you would go on a date with somebody that makes less money than you?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I have.
And you'd go on a date with somebody that makes more money than you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what questions do you want to ask us men
because you say it's kind of maybe played a role, but not exactly sure.
Yeah.
And Amy, you for sure, you say it can't work where the woman makes more than the man.
It would just be uncomfortable. I think it would be more uncomfortable probably for the person with less money than the person with more money, to be honest with you. I've been in that position where I just, you know, was broke dating somebody who was just making a ton of money. You know, I felt uncomfortable. You know,
and I think that's but I don't think
I just felt broke. I didn't feel like I wasn't sufficient. I was just kind of just uncomfortable going to really nice dinners. Like, I don't belong here. Which hand do I hold the fork in?
You know what I mean? Well, here's one thing I want to say is that as independent, successful women that you guys are, you with that comes an inherent standard of living that you've now become accustomed to. And I love that you guys are able to provide that for yourselves. And I'm not speaking for you two. I'm just putting a thought out there is that if you're able to hold yourself to that standard of living, that doesn't mean that any man or woman is also capable of holding you, flying you first class, staying in a 5-star restaurant or hotel. Maybe they're a school teacher and they pour their heart and soul into that, but their career just does not afford them the same amount of money. So to hold any ill will, and I'm not saying you guys do, but I'm just saying this for our community, to hold any ill will that you out-earn somebody, I don't think is fair.
I agree.
It's not fair. It's not fair.
I agree
just
with that.
It's also true.
Well, how about this though? Let's point.
It's not fair or right, but I'm saying I think there are relationships where it causes problems.
I agree.
It could.
We were talking. I want to. This is our dynamite engineer, Mr. Easton. Easton Allen, right here. We were talking earlier about this. And you said there was a stage in your life, as the stage that I'm in right now, where your wife out-earned you, and it actually affected you.
Well, yeah, like I'm the breadwinner of the family. I've become the vacant, but there was a point not long ago where my wife was making more than me, and I like to think of myself as a progressive guy. I mean, I like to think that I'm an evolved man, but I felt at that time I felt like that I wasn't taking care of her the right way, you know, and there wasn't a problem in our marriage or anything. Or, I mean, we were married at that time, but like in our relationship, there wasn't a problem. But I could feel like my ego go there by default, you know, like the caveman part of me was like, women need protection. I am not doing that now.
That's interesting. You know, So a friend of mine is like a tough guy, you know, like a professional tough guy, right? Mm-hmm. And the woman he was dating was making him feel like he was not enough because he wasn't making enough money.
Interesting.
But I said to him, "But you're providing, she's not paying attention to what you're providing." Which is, she knows that if someone were to break into your home, say, even if multiple people broke into your home, it wouldn't really be an issue for her because you're there. So there's things that you're providing being in that house that aren't money that she can depend on. And you just need to let her know that that's your worth. That's part of your value. You're bringing a value. It doesn't have to be monetary. I think that we sort of forget that we have sort of these other bank accounts of value.
Yeah.
We all have them, and it shouldn't be a number.
It's interesting you say that because for me, it's not so much of a financial thing. It's more of like I feel like when somebody's making like. If I'm dating somebody and they're so passionate and purposeful and like in their job and their life, and like to me, that's so much more attractive. Like if he has that and he makes not a lot of money, like it's more about like passion and drive because I think sometimes if somebody's making not a lot of money and they like hate their job and they kind of like, you know, kind of are kind of not, I don't want to say like moping through life. Mm. Like,
yeah,
to me, that's
question there.
That's a little bit like of a boner killer, you know? Like, I'm like, I don't want to date that, you know? Right?
Are you going to tell us about that boner of yours?
I get that.
But it's more of like, not so much financial as like sometimes success is measured in different ways, you know?
And what they could be, totally. Yeah, they could be giving you that other thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love what you said. He's so... We're trying to figure out why men think this, why men have this, what you said, Easton. It's real.
It's ingrained in us.
If a woman out-earns a man, I think it is real. Like, even right now, it's not that I look and I'm comparing myself to my wife, but I'm like, okay, let's get up and go. Mm-hmm. Like, I got to do something.
Right.
And just looking at myself, I'm trying to think, like, why is that versus me just saying, I'm just going to chill for a while because I just made X amount of millions of dollars playing hockey and I'm just going to coast. But there, you know, I could do that. Just a sec. I could do that, but there is something inherent in me that's like, wow, my wife is really doing these big deals, getting big projects. Like, I got to get back going here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think it's just the, I think men and women, but like, I'm just speaking for men here. Mm. Men inherently within their core and their hearts love to and yearn to provide, protect, love, empower, all of that. Mm-hmm. And so, and part of that is financial, undoubtedly. A large part, I think, is financial. And so it's almost impossible based on our DNA or genetic or the fabric of who we are as a man to not feel that.
It's also the optics of it. I remember now, I just had a flashback of being like at dinner with a couple people when I was hanging out with these guys. And I remember saying, like, can you just take my credit card and pay the bill? Like, I remember it was like, I just don't want, just use my credit card and just can you pay the bill and sign it? I literally hated the feeling of having to always be the one that's like, oh, let me do it. Here comes like the, it felt manly.
Let me go with this for a sec. Okay, so why is that instead of like, I really get gratitude out of like paying for this. Like I think it's because the energy with that person is not right.
Yes.
I don't think it's something financial. Mm-hmm. I think it's what you're talking about, Tanya, is that if somebody loves their career and is lit up by it, even though they make $42,000, you, because of the quality of person you are, and same with you, it's measured. You're going to measure it in joy, not financial.
Yeah, for sure. I also think for women, it can kind of be like, sometimes like I feel like I could be motherly, not so much manly, just motherly. And I don't want to be a
motherly
mom to my partner. No.
That's a whole other episode.
Yeah.
Or, but even with that, the flip side of that is sometimes looking at a man like he's your father.
Yeah.
That is a real thing.
Oh, it's gross. Like, I'm the little girl. Like,
no, it's like... Like you, like
I just
sometimes
threw
we
up
get.
In my
me
mouth.
Too. I just got so.
No, but that's like a thing where the person's such the caretaker of the woman, and you're like, oh god.
Yeah, that's like sometimes guys do things that because they love you, and a girl is like, "You're not my dad. Don't do that." And I'm like, "I'm not your dad. I don't want to be your dad."
Yeah.
Or sometimes they do want their dad.
I don't know. Now we're really getting lost.
Yeah. And
I mean, I get what you're saying a little bit. I do want to date someone that's like my like has the qualities of my father. But I don't want to date my father.
I get it.
And my dad's like kind of perfect.
Lines. Question for you, Tanya. If you could speak to the men out there, the single eligible bachelors or the men out there, on how they would want, how you would want them to approach you, or not approach you, but like have an energy on a date, knowing that you are a very successful and independent woman, what would you ask of men?
Let me answer this for you.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm curious to what you're going to say.
Can you imagine? I got this. Let me do this for you.
I think just being very intentional. That's like my biggest thing with men is like being very transparent and intentional.
In regards to their feelings, in regards to their
expectations,
purpose,
their purpose. Yeah. Like I get obviously... first, second date, like, you know, you're just getting to know somebody. But beyond that, I think just kind of communicating and just being like, also just like, nothing is annoying to me more than saying, hey, oh, like, what are you doing on Wednesday? It's like, well, let's like, like, I'd love to take you out, you know, like, let's like actually
a little
make
more
this
assertive,
a little more assertive, I think.
Not Tori and I were talking about this, but like, I think men can be more assertive in some ways, and but not dominating.
Mm. Yeah.
Like you said, when the guy ordered for you, like he'd asked you what you would want, and like he'd like, we would like
dreamiest
to have this
guy on the planet.
I think men can do that in a really graceful and subtle way.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big,
like, I love a guy saying like, what are you doing Tuesday? I'd love to take you to dinner. Yeah. And then on the flip side, he does that for me, and then I do it for him. I'm like, I want to show you my part of town. I'm going to take you on a bar tour of Studio City.
Yeah.
Are you in? Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think it takes, I mean, both people doing it.
So when I hear you talk, I feel like you approach those like that,
because mm-hmm.
that's what you're wanting back. So that's, I'm feeling like you are straightforward and transparent. Mm-hmm. Be like, I really like you.
Yeah. And I think does a lot of women like that.
Does it ever put men off? Does it ever like scare
them? We're asking
them?
You, dude. We don't know.
I'm asking her because here's from my standpoint, if I'm actually a good dude and I'm interested in that person, it's going to draw me to them. And it's a great, it's almost a great filter. If I'm just a dude out looking for whatever, I got nothing going on Tuesday night and maybe this girl's cute and who knows, I'm going to be like, whoa, I'm going to text this other person or something. Like, that's probably what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I think it's a great filter from a woman's standpoint to not disclose or put out there exactly what your intentions are, but to be like, I'm really enjoying spending time with you. I would like to do this with you again. Or can, like, there's this, we always talk about this on the show. There's subtle ways to communicate directly versus overbearing ways to throw things in your face.
Yeah. Mm.
And I feel like you do that. And any guy that's worth sitting at that table with you and that is actually really into you and curious and intrigued by you will respond to that and reciprocate that.
Yeah, I mean, I think somehow the lesson of this is like, everybody should be communicating.
I don't agree. Yeah. Don't disagree with that.
Better. Like,
yeah, if you just want someone for one night, like, just tell them. I mean, right?
But isn't it kind of like an audition? I mean, we have you got, you've gone on some auditions in your life, right?
Well, tryouts, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And what happens when you don't get it? Do they always call you and say you didn't get it? Or just
minors get a bus ticket.
You know what I mean? It's sort of the silence is the communication in a way.
But that's,
and it's just
email people back.
I know that sounds a little too raw.
It's so
but the reality is it's
I was doing that for years.
Sleeping around like that?
Yeah, sleeping with guys, wanting more from them and not getting it, being like, why do they want to date me? It's like, well, duh.
Right.
Well, I don't say duh on that, but at
the same time, for me, that was my experience.
Because my situation is different, whatever.
Totally.
But I still think it's like, really? I owe an email to a stranger who just like cold emailed me about something for work, but this guy I had a relationship with doesn't have to call me? That's weird.
It's just.
It's not work, though. It's not an obligation.
I love how you, even though I vehemently disagree with you, take the other side sometimes.
But
I'm just being devil's advocate, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if I went to an audition, right, for something, you know, if I was an actor and I went on an audition, the casting director isn't going to call me up and say, hey, man, you didn't get the job. They just don't call you at all. You just don't get the job. And so here we are out in the real world, right? And which is the same thing. And if you're not getting the job, nobody's calling.
Gav, I see what you're saying.
I don't disagree
point.
With you the way it but, should be. But I'm trying not to be critical of the reality that sometimes these people, A, don't think it's worth their time, or B, don't want to stir the pot. They don't want you to think, oh, wow, what a loss. What a nice guy to call me and tell me he's not interested. That really would have been a good one. You know what I'm saying? So maybe if they would have reached out and done that, you would have had that much more emotion for that person because you'd be thinking, what a great one. I can't get them out of my mind now. Boy, wow, I would have been really, that was the one. It's easier for you to walk away when they're not contacting
not
you.
Not true.
You don't
not
think so?
100% not true. We can talk about this in the next episode because that is 100% not true.
Yeah, that's we can get back to this.
That's interesting
to
me
true.
Because
I think it's worse.
Because I think it would be harder.
I think it's worse. I know Brooks is dying. We have to go. Talk to you guys next week.
No,
Wait, we have to let Tanya go because she's too busy to have a conversation or a relationship.
This ran a little longer than usual. Tanya's schedule is filled up and we can't have her
anymore. Tanya, we have Tanya for 15 minutes and she's wondering why no one will marry her yet.
I take that back on a part of our show. I apologize for that. I just want to say, Tanya, I love you and I just want to thank you for being an amazing person.
I love you.
And a source of joy in my life and opening up for our community and hopefully inspiring them to do the same. And I pray for you that you're able to allow yourself to receive love.
Thank you. So, I love you so much.
Quickly, before we go, where can people
find you? I'm here too.
Scrubbing In Podcast.
Yeah, Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad Podcast. And every weekday morning on air with Ryan Seacrest.
There you go. And your social?
At Tanya Rad.
Yeah, you do a lot of fun dance videos and just you put fun stuff out. You and Brad Gresky.
Dancing.
And I've never been invited to one, and I'm kind of sad about that.
Oh, you can come to our next one.
Oh, God, you don't want me, but I'm in.
I want
to
see that.
Thank you so much for being here. We'd love to have you on again. You're one of my favorite people of all time.
Yeah, why don't you do another one right now?
Yeah, she's busy. Thanks, T.
Bye.
Guys, I want to share something with you that I absolutely love. This is luggage for modern travel. It's called Away Luggage. It's a perfect suitcase with all the features that make travel the easiest. My wife and I, we're all over the map. We're constantly traveling. You guys know that. And it's the perfect luggage for me. Away knows that everyone has a different travel style, and that's why they make their carry-on in an array of colors, two sizes, and two different materials. A strong and flexible polycarbonate and an anodized aluminum, and I've used both of them, and both are fantastic. You guys get a 100-day trial on everything Away makes. Take it out on the road with you, travel with it, roll it around. If you decide it's not for you, you can return any non-personalized item for a full refund. Free shipping on any Away order within the contiguous US, Europe, and Australia. For that loved one in your life, Away makes the perfect gift.
I use the carry-on. It's a lightweight and durable shell that's made to last for a lifetime of travel. Remember, like Brooks said, the 100-day trial lets you try any Away product on the road. And you know I like that because I can try it and be sure that I like it. It's got four 360-degree spinner wheels that guarantee a smooth ride, TSA-approved combination locks that keep your belongings safe. It's got an optional ejectable battery to keep your phone charged, and a removable laundry bag to separate dirty clothes from clean clothes. This thing is like the Swiss Army knife of suitcases. Wow.
Now, I use what's called the bigger carry-on. It's similar to what Ryan has, except mine just happens to be a little bit bigger than his. And if you know what I'm talking about, you know that I'm saying that my suitcase is sized up to make the most of the overhead bin. Can't imagine you'd think I'd be talking about something else. Anyway, the suitcase is durable. It's easy to carry up and downstairs because it's really lightweight. And the bigger carry-on also has the wheels that don't stick, the laundry bag for the dirty clothes, and a built-in lock that TSA won't question. And with four kids, I'm generally not just packing for myself. I have some spillover. I have iPads, stuffed animals, blankets, and it's good because I can fit my kids' stuff in there too. Now, the whole family uses Away luggage, and what's really cool is we have different color suitcases, so we always know whose is whose. It really limits the fighting. Obviously, we still fight, but it's not about luggage.
I travel constantly for work. Road trips to Tahoe, Carmel, Los Angeles, flights to Mexico, Manila, Alaska. The Away suitcase is designed to last a lifetime, and that matters to me. I want something that is durable and great quality. And if anything breaks, the Away customer service team will have it fixed or replaced. You can visit the Away stores in New York, Austin, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Boston, Chicago, and London. I just went to the Away store in SF and got exactly the suitcase I needed for an upcoming trip to Europe. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/HMT and use promo code HMT during checkout. Awaytravel.com/HMT. This is the perfect gift to buy for yourself or for someone else for the holidays. Awaytravel.com/HMT.
Ooh, another heater of an episode.
Big time.
I love Tanya, man.
She was great, wasn't she?
I love Tanya. Yeah. One of my favorite things, one of my favorite things in my life is my friendships with women.
Mm.
And I just want the world for them. I have other friends that are women that are single. And I'm like, can I just somehow meet a dude that would just like oh my God, I just want them to have a Gavin DeGraw in their life.
What a liar. man is such a great liar. I did love Tanya, man. I loved her. I loved her sincerity, man. Yes. She was so authentic and really searching and so open to searching and so open about her search. You know, it was really kind of refreshing.
It's super, that was the exact word that's on my mind. It's super refreshing when somebody wears their heart on their sleeve.
Yeah.
And doing that, you open yourself up to some hurt, right? There's going to be some hurt and some rejection or whatever, but I think it's the only way to live, and I admire her for her courage.
Yeah, man.
Really for her courage. So,
yeah, I agree.
Tanya, we wish the best to you. Single men, if you are a hell of a good dude.
Here's your number.
Reach out to me. Reach out to me on my Instagram. I'll filter yous out, and then I'll connect you. But, buddy, I love it. I love this podcast, man. I love
what we're doing. Me too.
I love, and I hope you, as a listener, you're getting value from it. And we hope that in any way, that sometimes the topics are geared to this or that or whatever, but we hope you're able to pull a nugget from each episode to positively impact the quality of your life. So the people driving in the car, the people listening at the gym, at home, just want to say thank you to you guys as a listener. And also, Gav, we got an exciting announcement for those listeners. You know what it is?
We do?
He doesn't even know it.
What is it, Brooks?
You don't know it because you don't have this fancy prompter in front of you like I do. Our engineer, Easton.
Oh, man.
Easton just wrote a note on my prompter that says we have a new voicemail account so our How Men Think listeners can call in and leave us a voicemail with your question you want us to answer. The number is 1-888-430-1777. Once again, it's 1-888-430-1777. So you can call in, leave us a voicemail with your questions. We'll answer them on air. You can also send us an email at men@iheartradio.com. And then on our Instagram, How Men Think Podcast. So love you guys. You got the hands on that nice chicken sandwich there, buddy.
It looks pretty good, doesn't it?
Looks tasty.
Los Pollos.
I can't wait to touch on it right now.
Yeah, the nice folks from Los Pollos Hermanos sent over chicken sandwiches. And I know what you're thinking. That's the restaurant from Breaking Bad. Well, the restaurant's come to life now. Los Pollos Hermanos. You can get it from Uber Eats. And you can have the ABQ hot chicken sandwich, the Fring fries, I've got some here right in front of me, and the Pollos tenders, just like they have on the show. And that's going to be on Uber Eats, available in Los Angeles, and then it's moving on to San Francisco, Oakland, San Diego, Las Vegas, and Chicago. And Uber Eats is offering 1 week of free delivery every month on all Los Pollos Hermanos orders during this six-month partnership. So this is happening over the next 6 months. It starts started on the 24th, so it's going right now. So check it out. The sandwiches are really good, and it's so much fun to have a taste of a show about making meth and have the restaurant there with you.
But that's why you haven't heard Gav's voice in the last 30 seconds, because he's munching this tasty chicken. And it's got like a little buffalo scent to it, and it just makes me salivate. So that's where this episode ends. I'm going to wrap this
Thank you guys.
Yeah. Till next week, guys. Take care of one another. Love one another. We'll see you right back here at How Men Think.
See ya.